Okay, so, hi, I'm Mary, if you don't know. So as most of you know, around a month ago, I came back from a missions trip in Thailand, and obviously they've asked me to speak about my experience a bit, so this is what I'm going to talk about. So there were three main things that I learned a lot about while I was over there. And the first one was about trusting in God. And technically, I didn't learn a lot about this, all I did. But most of what I learned about this was in the lead up to the trip, so not while I was there. So, as my mentor group probably knows, I had a lot of like doubts and fears going into this, and I was really scared. So, I knew it was something that I wanted to do, and I knew it was something God had called me to do. But that didn't help me to stop feeling scared. And I get homesick really easily. And I was like, I'm going to be away from home for like 3 whole weeks. And that frightened me. And I've never been on a plane before, and that scared me too. And there was just so many things that scared me. So obviously, you know, the best thing to do is... Sorry, your brother looked at me. I thought the best thing to do, obviously, is to pray about it. So I pray about it a lot, like a lot. I've never prayed about anything as much as I prayed about this. And every time I would pray, I wouldn't get an answer. You know, I'd ask God, like, give me a clear answer. Am I supposed to do this? And I'd get nothing. So then I'm like, all right, then I'm not going. And then, maybe like within the next hour, the next day, something would happen that would make me change my mind. So one example I can remember was, I think it was a school camp, and I was like, no, I'm not going, like, I don't want to stay away from home. And later that night, I went to my cabin, and I started reading my Bible, and I opened up Acts chapter 20, verse 24, which said, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. So I started thinking about it, like, in relation to my own life, and I was like, what have I done that's meaningful? And I was like, well, nothing, all I do is go to school. So, I was like, you know, this is my chance to do something that means something. So, that was the one verse that I kept going back to when I was starting to have doubts. And, of course, there were other things that I needed to trust God with, you know. Like, when I decided I wanted to go, I had no way of getting money, and my dad wasn't going to give me anything. Like, I had to do it all. And then I got a job, and that helped me, and then God put people in my life who were generous enough to help me out as well. And he also helped me to grow in confidence, and he put a lot of people around me to support me. And in the lead up to the trip, I learned that it was very important to trust God, and that was the main thing that gave me confidence. So the second thing that I wanted to talk about was constantly praising God and also gratitude. So, about a week into the trip, I had a very bad day. I woke up in the morning, I just wasn't feeling it, I wanted to go home, I was feeling homesick. But later that day, we'd gone to an orphanage called Agape. We'd each been assigned a buddy, and something happened between my buddy and I. She didn't really like me, you know. She got mad at me. That hurt, you know. And, you know, it was just getting progressively worse, you know. Later that day, I somehow dropped my phone in a fish tank. And I couldn't talk to my family, and that annoyed me too. And I was like, God, why did you bring me here if you were going to do this to me? And, you know, I went to bed that night feeling angry. The next day, we went to a home for children who have been rescued from human trafficking situations and, like, sex slavery, all that kind of thing. And we joined them for worship. It was a Friday night like this, and they had worship. And, you know, the teachers had been telling us, there's nothing like a worship that's always home. We were like, oh, yeah, all right. Until we went. And I just can't really explain it. Like, you go in, and they're so happy. and you like kind of forget that they were the ones who were in the bad situations, because we'd all gone in like, you know, whatever, you know, Australia. You know, we weren't too eager for anything, and they were like all jumpy and happy and like singing at the top of their lungs, and then I looked around me and people that like from my team had started crying, and I was confused, and then it finally hit me, like, Mary, look at yourself. You're in a bad mood because of what you went through the day before, because you lost a phone, because your little girl doesn't like you, right? So I was like, at least you didn't go through all this. Like, what right do I have to be mad at God? He's put me through nothing. So that was the main thing that taught me to be grateful, and that I should also never get mad at God. Like, I should worship him through everything. And we saw some other things that taught me to be grateful, like when we did visit the orphanage. You don't really understand what it's like to be an orphan. I don't think I still understand, but you don't really like understand the full gravity of it until you see a child and you realize this child's not going to have a home to go to at Christmas. Like, this is their home, right? They don't have parents. Or when we went to somewhere called McCain Rehabilitation Center for people who suffered from leprosy, like, they don't have limbs, and their family and their communities have cast them out. Like, I haven't gone through anything like that. So that those experiences taught me to always be grateful and to always praise God despite everything. Okay, and the verse for this is, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, and that's from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. And the last thing was about serving God. So you always hear it that, you know, you should go out and do good, like, and you kind of feel like, oh yeah, I was nice to my friend at school, that's enough for me. But not really. Like, that's not enough. Oh what? I don't know. I'm just gonna stop. But I didn't really understand how important it was until I did it. So I'm gonna start off with the Bible verses for this one. It's James chapter 2, verses 14 to 17. And it says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, who is not accompanied by action, is dead. So it's not enough to just look at someone and think, all right, they need help. You know, I hope they get it. You have to go out and do it. And on the first night, we had someone called Laura. Her name is Laura. She talked to us and she said a line that really resonated with the whole team throughout the trip. And it was, once you see something, you're responsible for it. And once we'd adopted that mindset, service was so much easier. Like, and I'm being honest, nothing was as fulfilling as service. So like, when we, like, I like hate physical activity, right? But you know, this one, like, we spent a few days painting a church, and there was nothing as fulfilling as watching the elderly people watch us paint the church. Like, they were so happy to see people doing good things for them. And there was nothing as good as hearing my little buddy laugh while we jumped together on the trampoline. That was pretty cool too. I didn't realize how much it meant to me until we got back from the trip and I was doing nothing with my life. And I was like, okay, I can do something. So just encourage you all to serve when you can and serve as best you can. And that's it.
I really like that. That was pretty good. I've never heard you speak so much. As for me, I went on the same trip but 2 years ago in my year 10, and same school as Mary. So in year 10, we all decided to go to this mission trip, me and my friends. At the start, I wasn't too keen on doing it, and then my friends encouraged me, and I'm like, well, where am I going to get my money from and whatnot? But things seriously just work out. Like, if you put your heart and your mind to something, such as a mission trip to honour God, I think He'll honour you in financially as well, because that's a big part of what needs to happen in that area. Anyway, got on the plane, we arrived, and Thailand is weird, like, one of the weirdest places. It was so hot, but sometimes, like, during the day, it'll just rain for literally 20 minutes. If you time it, it's, like, exactly 20 minutes, and then it'll just stop, the sun's back, and everything's back to normal. And we were staying in this hotel, nothing fancy at all, you know, it's just a bunch of beds and a getaway bathroom where you had the shower just over the toilet. So it was like a multi-purpose bathroom, so use your imagination there. And we had something that we called working days, and the World Cup was on, Chaz, I don't know if you this, but the World Cup was on during that time, and we got to watch on this like tiny little TV. Seriously, it was like the size of this, and it made me appreciate the TV we have at home. We had to watch the soccer on that. But the owner of the hotel, her name was Mei Ban, and she was such a cute little lady, and she gave us like an insight on what the Thai people were actually like. They were seriously some of the nicest people I've met in my life. They're always so happy, and no matter what's going on, like, this lady, if you say here someone owns a hotel, you think like a millionaire or something like that, but this lady seriously didn't have much. She even did like our laundry. We would chuck our laundry down to her. I don't know how many kids there were on the trip, I don't know, I said 30-ish. And she would get all that laundry and she would do it like, she was so nice and so happy about it, and there was so much joy in this lady's heart. And another thing we did was we went to Agape, which is the HIV orphanage for little kids. And it's not a big place. It's all it is, it's a soccer pitch, a new soccer pitch. And you got like a little playground with a trampoline, a swimming pool. They just built like a new swimming pool and they get to teach like the kids how to swim and stuff. And they got this like really cold water they have. It's like, I don't know if Mary tried it or not, but it was like the coldest water I've ever had in my life. That was really good. And just thought I'd mention. And I think I had more fun than the kids. Like, as Mary said, we were assigned like buddies at the start. And I thought there was like a schedule or something we'd have to do, but seriously, all you have to do is just for, I don't know, a couple of hours, you're just running around with these kids, playing with them, that's all you're there for. And like, at the start when they told us, like, these kids, you know, have HIV AIDS, and I'm like, ooh, I'm not really too sure what that means, alright, well, did they just sit down and do nothing or whatever? But when I got there, I'm like, whoa, these kids are crazy, like, they're jumping around, playing soccer. And yeah, we had mad sessions in soccer, you know. They were doing backflips on the trampolines and stuff. Yeah, it was sick. And my buddy's name was named Jet, and I only saw him twice in the whole trip. We were there for 3 weeks and I only saw him twice. The very first time we went, and somewhere in the middle. But yeah, I don't know if he liked me or not, but whenever we played soccer, he would usually just, you know, avoid me for some reason. But I made friends with a lot of the other little kids that were there. And these kids speak Thai, so they don't really know much English, but it's not awkward at all. Like, once they announce whose buddy you have, they literally just grab your hand and just run along with you, and they just take you on a journey, and like, communication's hilarious. You're just like pointing and doing all these symbols and all these things like that, and it just happens. Like, it was really cool. And we also went to McCain, which is the leprosy place. We did things such as like painting, digging trenches, and yeah, like physical sort of stuff. And these old people, they're just there, and like, they don't really have much. Like, I'll give you an example. Like, one of the people that were there, she was a very old lady, and she was in her last days. Like, she passed away during the time that we were there. And just before she died, we met with this lady, like, for a day. And she passed away, like, 2 days later. And I've never seen someone in that state just before someone passes away. But I wouldn't have imagined someone to be so happy. Like, the way I saw this lady really, like, opened up my eyes. You know, if I knew I was in my last days, I don't think I'd be feeling like that at all. This lady was worshipping, she was singing from all her heart. She was so happy and so joyful. And I have never seen that in someone. She's a very old lady, and she had leprosy as well. Like, she was singing like nothing was wrong, like a fine human being. And McCain was a really big place. Like, when I say big, I mean big. Like, you had to move around with a car to get to places. And as I said, we had that worship session. That was awesome. And another place we went to was the Zoe's Home, which is a massive organization. And they're working with the Thai police to get young girls and guys to save them from sex slavery and bring them into the home and teach them about God, give them an education and things like that. And I think that was the best place that we went to. We also had working days, but the highlight for me was we had a worship night, as Mary said. And you know, it's funny that she mentioned that worship night was awesome, because that worship night was my highlight of the whole thing. I seriously loved it, and I can't explain it. Like, it's, you know, when you're having a worship time and like it's a unique worship time. It's not like every other worship time that we have, but like you just feel God's presence. Like, God's presence is always there, yes, but it's different. It's something special and something that stands out that you remember for the time coming. That was like that, and they had that every single day. We started off by singing a song in Thai. They would sing it. It was like 60 people or something like that in the room. And then we sang the song in English, and then we combined. And then all I saw was just people like around me crying and putting their hands up and really worshiping God. Like, I'm like, look where you came from. Like, why aren't you mad? Yeah, like that was the biggest thing for me. That was such an eye opener for me. And if you know me, like, I love worship and everything, but I prefer like sort of the message thing, the whole message purpose of things. And when I was there, I was like, well, like, you know, worship just took a whole new perspective of me. You know, if we would worship like this at church and Sundays and Fridays, like, I think our faith would be completely changed. And we had someone to come over into the hotel one of the nights, and what this guy told us was that he came from, he's an Australian guy, so he came from Australia and he's working over in Thailand. And this guy had a calling from God, and he just went, like, he left everything he had behind. And he just went, like, he doesn't know when his next meal is going to come or where it's going to come from, but he has so much faith in God. Like, I think if God told me to go over somewhere, you know, maybe I'd go, yeah, but I'd be so worried. This guy was so chill about it, and, like, he was not worried whatsoever where anything was going to happen or when it was going to happen. And he said something that that stuck with me the whole trip. And it said, he asked us, how do you spell faith? And we spelt it for him, but then he's like, no, it's R-I-S-K, risk. And I was like, oh man. and then he sort of explained what that meant. And what he said was, it took me a risk to get to where I am now. I had to take a risk to leave everything I had. I was well off, but look where I am now. Like, he's not getting money. He's doing everything for God, and people are just there to support him. But he took a risk to go over to Thailand. And something that changed with me is, you know, sometimes we need to take risks as well. And if you know that it's God's will for you to do something, then take that risk, because it will pay off. And obviously it's not going to be easy at the start, but faith can actually just literally mean risk, like take the risk. And we went to like the night market and things like that, and I knew about that before I came. Like, my friends were telling me, the markets are so cool, everything's so cheap, you can buy this, you can buy that. And then I think at the start of the trip I was like, yeah, that's definitely going to be my highlight of the trip. But like, I'm not going to tell you it was boring or whatever, obviously it was fun, but nowhere at all was that my highlight of the trip. Like, that literally meant not much to me at all in my time in Thailand. And yeah, I had the most fun there, and it really changed my perspective of mission trip. At the start, I looked at it more of a holiday, but it really is more than just that. You know, you get to spend time with friends and build friendships and relationships and everything like that there, but it changes everything you see, because here we're so focused on what happens. We come on Friday night, it's the same thing, yeah, but you know, like, you come in on Friday nights and you're going to church on Sundays, it's like a routine, and we're doing the same thing, and we're just used to how our lifestyles are working. And when I went over to Thailand, I got to see a new perspective of how things were, and yeah, that opened up my eyes to something different. And I encourage anyone who's like thinking or not, if you're thinking about going to a mission trip, I really encourage you to go, because Thailand or not, you will have an awesome time, and you seriously will enjoy it, every aspect of it, not just the fun parts, but the spiritual parts, I reckon, were the best thing for me, and that was the most impactful as well. So yeah, I encourage everyone to go.
And that was something that I actually was terrified to do. It was a 15-hour long plane ride, which is nothing compared to Egypt, or so I've done that before. The plane ride wasn't what I was terrified about. It was, India is extremely similar to Egypt. I've probably been to Egypt, some of you haven't. But it's not safe. To go out by yourself, especially as a girl. And I had a fear that something was going to happen, because just before we, there was something on the news about this girl who had actually been raped and murdered because she went out with this one guy on a date. And obviously it wasn't smart. But yeah, that actually really, really scared me. So I went for 2 weeks, that was 2 years ago as well, at the end of year 10. And we went to so many different places. We went to all of their main attraction areas. And the food, oh my god, the food is amazing. But if you don't like spicy food, it's not very smart. I had to have a cup of water and some milk with me every single meal, because these people do not believe in like less than extra hot at their nose. Below that, it doesn't exist. Yeah, so we got to learn so many different things and go to so many different places. And something that we learned was a Bollywood dance, actually. And we had guys and girls there, and it did not end well. We had to do it in front of a massive school there. And the worst part was they did a Bollywood dance for us just before them, so you can see the difference in how good and bad it was. We got to go to the Himalayas, which, for those of you who don't know, are these massive mountains, and they're absolutely gorgeous. You know, sky high, like dancing on mountains kind of thing, yeah? It's actually kind of really pretty. It's like really nice. That's rubbish compared to Himalayas. Himalayas is absolutely gorgeous. There is nothing that you don't want to stare at for a really long time. It's just so beautiful. We also went to the Taj Mahal, which they take so seriously. You have to wear like these socks over your shoes. You can't wear your own shoes because it's like marble and it's like sacred ground. And it was this emperor. He built it for his one of nine wives, his favorite one of the nine wives. Like, how bad would you feel if you were the eighth other? Like, you didn't have a Taj Mahal. Like, they had a different building, but it was like 1/10 of the size of the Taj Mahal. It was like tiny. And yeah, there was this lady who took us around. Her name was Ravi. Apparently, I looked Indian over there, and they thought that Ravi was my mum. And I came home and I told Rachel, and I was like, "Rachel, guess what?" She's like, "What?" I was like, "I got proposed to twice. These guys just came up to Ravi and was like, 'Oh, I really want to marry your daughter. Can I have her hand in marriage?'" They didn't know me. They didn't know anything. And Rachel was like to me, "Oh, I didn't know Indian people were so close to Arabs. Like." Like, the parents go to the other parents, like, "Oh, I don't really know." But, Yeah, it was just, it was, the experience was, as a whole, was, like, amazing. We got to go to different preschools, high schools, got to go to a blind school, which is really just, that hit me really hard. We got to go to drug centres, and, it was definitely a great experience. Going to all these different places and meeting all the children and spending time with them and being able to pray for them and everything. It was absolutely, really extraordinary. And I know that it's something that I will never forget. And I know that David and Mary can say that it's something that they will never, ever forget their entire lives. Going over there, I felt really blessed. And I felt, I just felt absolutely blessed to even have the opportunity to be able to go. And when we were there, the kids, they treated us like celebrities. Like, I was like Angelina Jolie or like Jennifer Aniston or this guy, or like for David, Cristiano Ronaldo. As I thought about it a bit more, the only difference between me and these kids were materialistic things. That was literally the only difference between me and them. I had more than they had. And I heard so many different stories, and there was this one girl who, she really, really, it stuck with me that she was no more than two, she's probably even, no more than one even. And she had been left on the side of the road by her dad because she was a girl, no other reason. Because she was a girl rather than a guy. And, I just felt that was really, really just, that was so sad and unnecessary, I guess. And there were so many other stories. Like, there was this girl who, she was raped by her dad and her uncle as well, and a boy who, he'd get beaten every single day if he didn't bring enough money or he didn't bring enough scrap metal so that their parents could melt it and make it into things that they could sell. And I just, by the fifth day, I did not want to go to anywhere new. I didn't want to meet anybody new because I didn't want to hear these stories and the stories that I've told you, they are minor stories. They are literally nothing compared to the stories that they have actually told us. And I didn't want to hear anymore because I didn't want to see these kids and feel, just get in such a depressed mood because how can someone, you always have that question, is how could God allow that kind of thing? Something that I realized that was there was how selfish our world is today and how obsessed we are with ourselves today. And we're always just, we're just obsessed with doing what's best for us, doing what we want. And it says in the Bible that we need to love our neighbor as ourselves. But the problem is, we don't love ourselves in the right way to be able to love our neighbors as ourselves. So that, in turn, distorts the way that we see other people. And in Luke 15, the prodigal son, he left with everything, spent everything. He was at such a horrible place. He was dreaming of the pods that the pigs were eating. And when he came home, his dad was really excited. His brother was like, "What's going on?" Blah, blah. And then he says from verse 29, but he answered his father, look, when his father was like, "Come inside." He was like, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home and you kill the fat calf for him." And then the father says, "My son, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because your brother, this brother of yours was dead and is now alive again, and he was lost and now is found." His brother was saying, I, he was caring about himself. He always didn't care that his brother was okay. He didn't care that his brother was at the lowest of the lows and he's back to come back to his father and his family. He also says, "This son of yours." He doesn't acknowledge that it's his brother. It's the same as us. We don't acknowledge that people all the way in India or all the way in Thailand are still our brothers and our sisters. We don't acknowledge that they are still people that we need to care for, we need to look after. And I felt that just that when I was over there, like I was sitting down and I was looking at all these kids and playing with all of them, and I was just thinking, these are my brothers and these are my sisters. This is my family. Even though I don't see them every day or even though I don't see them every week, they're still my family. They're still people that I love. And yeah, the brother had drifted from his father and come back and stuff like that. And his brother was jealous that his dad was doing more for his brother. But it's actually that everything I have is yours. And and so I was kind of in the mindset of wanting to go to India to give, not to, to share what I know about God to these kids. And these kids, we would always bring presents for them, and they wouldn't open the gift, they wouldn't play with the gift unless we would play with them or we would be with them. And we would bring crafts and artsy type things for them to create something for themselves, but they'd create it, but they'd give it to us. They wouldn't keep it for themselves. They have close to nothing, yet when we gave them materialistic things, when we tried to bring them to be the same as, materialistic things as we do, they always gave it back to us. So I always thought, why can't we do the same thing? I mean, God is the reason why we can come here every day. God is the reason why we have a job. God is the reason why we have money. So why don't we give it back? Why don't we also share what God has given to us with God's people? And I'm not saying that it's kind of all the way going to India, going to a mission trip and everything like that. Although if it is in your heart, definitely go for it. It's something that I will never regret. I will always love if I have the opportunity to go again, if it's in the cards. But there's just, now that, like, when I think about it, there's so much hate in this world, and it's kind of, now is the best time for us to spread God's word, because that's the only thing that's going to pull that hate back and take that hate away in the world. And going and seeing these kids and seeing their smile on their face and how they have no hate towards God, the person who gave them all of this and has abundance of love and care for them, they have no hatred towards them. Yet we have hatred towards, I guess, our mum, if she won't give us some food that we really want her to make or something like that. It's something so small that we hate our mums for. I'm sure hate is too strong a word right now, but something that we dislike our mum, we get annoyed. But these kids, they get given what they want, but they don't keep it for themselves. They share it and they give it away. And that's what amazed me the most, was that they never kept anything for themselves. And we met this lady called Grace, and she has 23 daughters, but they're not her daughters. She's adopted them because she has found them on the side of the street or at an orphanage that she can't really care for them. And they're all girls, there are no boys. And we got to spend a few days with them, and they have a big house to fit all of them in. And in their backyard, they have all these plants of fruit and veggies. And you kind of walk through, and they never buy anything except obviously like the stuff that they can't grow. But their main food is everything that they grow. And you walk past, and you're like looking around and stuff like that, and you're kind of just like, oh, that's pretty cool, that's pretty cool. And the way that they talk about the plants is like, it's gold to them, kind of thing. So something that small is gold to them. Like, I know I have a mandarin tree, I have a fig tree, I have a cherry tree in my backyard, I have a lemon tree in my backyard. I don't think I've ever visited, maybe like, or gone outside to it once, unless I was like, go get a lemon. but they go out there every single day to see, to water it, to plant it, to see if it's okay, to give it sunlight, to give it soil, to get it, to keep it alive. outnumber the grains of sand on this earth. So imagine that. If you're at the beach, I want you to grab a handful and I want you to count it. Do you reckon you guys could do that for me? Exactly. Because there's a couple of thousand sand grains in there. So imagine one handful, that's a couple thousand times. Imagine the entire earth. How many sand grains are going to be there? And that's the amount of times that God thinks of each and every one of you. It's not thinks of Shanti. One beach and Rana, two beaches. And some of you, all the beaches, and every single one of you, it's the same amount of beaches, the same amount of sand grains, sorry. He may have different plans for each and every one of us, but we all have the same purpose. Does that make sense? Yes. Awesome. sorry, I was thinking it in my head, but I was like, that makes no sense. Hopefully they get it. But yeah, so we all have different plans, but we all have the same purpose. Out of its mission on your heart, talk to one of the leaders, search it up online. I'm sure there's so many different organizations that conduct mission trips and stuff, but it's just taking that first step in that mission trip. And it doesn't have to be a mission trip if that's not what you're comfortable doing. It can be even through your tithes and offering, just sitting down right now. That's how you can help someone, that's how you can fulfill your purpose. Like, the reason why we went on this mission trip is because, well, that's what we felt we were called to do. That's how we felt we could fulfill our purpose. But we can each fulfill our purpose in different ways, through our tithes and our offerings, through musical, through public speaking, through just talking to someone, or even just, it's probably a sneaky way, and I don't know if you guys would like, if you're comfortable doing this, but even just putting a little invite in, going around your neighborhood, inviting them to church. They don't even need to know that it's from you. Just tell them where it is, the time, and when it is, kind of thing. And it's just something like little simple things like that that can help you fulfill your purpose. And yeah, so I encourage you guys to just take that first step.